Got me?
I can hear you loud and clear. We are now joined by seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion Jimmy Johnson heading into his final race today at Martinsville Speedway. We're going to open the floor straight to questions, and our first question is going to come from Godwin Kelly. Go ahead with your question, Godwin.
So, Jimmy, I mean, what emotions are you feeling? What's going on inside Jimmy Johnson right now?
I'm excited, honestly. It's been an amazing journey and one that I could have never dreamt of. And to be here at the end of it, going out on my terms when I choose to go out with the great support of Hendrick Motorsports, ally, friends, family, partners, everybody involved. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm in a great headspace. Excited to be at one of my best tracks. And the sun is out, thankfully, unlike last week. So excited to get going.
Our next question is going to come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with your question, Jordan.
Hi Jimmy. You've talked about how maybe you'd still be interested in doing a one-off, Daytona 500, Brickyard 400, as you go into your next phase of your career. I'm curious now that you've got the sponsorship sorted out on the IndyCar side of things, if you've had those conversations and where they may be at.
Yeah, nothing directly. You know, the whole group understands, you know, some options that could be out there, but we've all been so busy trying to finish up the current NASCAR season and then just try to get prepared to start the IndyCar season for next season that nothing's really materialized yet. So, you know, to be determined. I hope to get something kind of moving on the Rolex 24 front. That's certainly high on my list for next year. But again, with my plate being so full, wrapping up Cup and then just trying to get started on the IndyCar side, I haven't had a chance to work on much of that either.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Michelle Martinelli. Go ahead with your question, Michelle.
Hi, Jimmy. This is kind of a broader question, but when you look at your two decades in the Cup Series and everything you accomplished, do you have any regrets? Do you wish you could get a do-over on anything, whether it's something big like you know, a whole season, or wish you could have just one race back? Any regrets?
I'd say do-overs. I'm not sure about regrets. And I've always felt like mistakes made really give you a chance to learn and grow. And although the last 3 years really haven't been how I wanted them to go or expected them to go, I've done a lot of learning and soul searching on my own and feel like I've had a lot of personal growth through it all. So, you know, that I'm thankful for. You know, there's some moments in time that I wish I could do over and handle differently, but, you know, no real regrets at the end of the day.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Yeah, Jimmy, we talked to you about this before, but I'm curious if I can talk to you about again, the fact that, you know, everybody talks about how nice a guy you are and everything. And everybody also says that nice guys finish last. So I'm curious, how have you been able to mesh the two?
I think if you just be yourself, ultimately you're going to be the best that you can be. You know, anybody that's trying to be nice and isn't is going to fall short, and then, you know, plays the same way in the other direction. And, you know, I think your personality and the way you treat people and handle things not only impacts your life specifically, but it also attracts like-minded people to be around you and the teams that you drive for and the sponsors that you have. So, you know, when I look at it, you know, in the big picture or potentially holistically, you see all these other variables where like-minded people have assembled together and we're able to do what we do. So, you know, it's a saying, and I think I understand why, because competition is fierce and you have to be cutthroat at times. But I think I'm one of quite a few examples that, you know, if you just be yourself and do your thing, you can be respectful and kind to others and still succeed in a competitive sport.
And do you think you had any that was part of your attitude early just because you didn't have success in the Xfinity series?
Yes, Xfinity. And then I would back up to my ASA days, different moments in time, my off-road days, my motocross days. You know, I've had patterns my whole life where things started slowly And then I was able to have my moment, and it goes all the way back to my earliest of years in racing on dirt bikes. And then I'd also have to put my family dynamic in there and how I grew up and my parents, my siblings, and just the way, you know, we lived our lives and interact with others.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Greg Engel. Go ahead with your question, Greg.
Hey, Jimmy. Congratulations on your coming to your final races, and thank you for being so great with us through the years. We'll miss that, I'm sure. On the sponsor side, you've been pretty fortunate. You had the Lowe's and Ally. I'm interested in the Carvana thing because from what I heard, you really worked hard on that, and that was a lot of your doing. Can you tell me about how the Carvana sponsorship came together and what your role was in it and how satisfying it was to put that together?
Certainly satisfying. And as I understood the hurdles I had in front of me to go IndyCar racing, I went to my contact lists and to my friends far and wide, some in North Carolina, some in New York, some out in Colorado. It just, you know, just started conversations with people that I knew were plugged in to you know, corporate America, if you will. And that led to, you know, some other phone calls and eventually to phone calls to the Carvana folks. And quick in the conversations with them, I could sense that Ernie Garcia, the founder of Carvana, could really identify the opportunity here. Although he's not very familiar with sports, with auto racing and sports marketing in that sense, he could understand kind of the life story going on, or my journey and the opportunity within all of that. And within short order, they expressed a verbal interest and wanted to move forward with things. So very pleased, obviously, to have them. It's a tough world out there right now with the pandemic, and to find such an amazing sponsor with such reach and an understanding of this opportunity was really special to us. And then, you know, certainly looking forward to a few more partners to come on board with the IndyCar program. And then as I move into some other one-off events, we'll need other partners for that stuff as well. And through our search in my office and the contacts that we have, you know, what I've kind of accumulated on a digital platform standpoint, clearly the success on track and this opportunity to tell a story and transitioning from NASCAR and other forms of racing creates a unique opportunity that many marketers will at least take a call on and listen to. And, you know, finding those right partners are just so important.
And was there ever a fear that you may not come up with sponsorship? Would that have derailed your IndyCar deal, or were you just that confident you'd find somebody?
I really felt good about things. I wasn't sure. I didn't feel in my heart that we would have a sole primary sponsor for the IndyCar. I felt like selling it in 3-4 race blocks or 4-3 race blocks might be the way to go about it and the way we would get to the finish line. But as soon as we spoke to Carvana, we understood if they came in, they were going to come in, you know, on a big level. And that kind of changed our thought process then.
Thank you. And congratulations on that deal, and have fun today, sir.
Thank you.
Our next question is going to come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead with your question, Lee.
Thank you. And hope you're doing well, Jimmy. You mentioned Rolex earlier, and I'm just kind of curious, do you want to run it again? Because in 8 starts, you still haven't gotten the watch. I mean, to get that watch, would that just be something that you could add to your resume? Is that something that's important to you?
Oh, without a doubt. And the fact that I've been second twice fuels that fire a bit more. And these bucket list items involve marquee events and Le Mans, Daytona, you know, those are the Rolex 24, I should say. Those are on the top of any, you know, auto racers list. So they're still on mine, although I've been in the Rolex 24 quite a few times. You know, I just want to go back and do it. These marquee events and unique opportunities like this really sound fun and exciting to me moving forward.
And is there one track in particular from an indie standpoint that kind of calls your name, something that you've always said, gee, that's the one? I mean, other than the Indy 500, that goes without saying, but is there just one track that is really drawing you in?
There's quite a few that are really interesting, but as a kid, you know, I just knew so much more what was going on in California. And the track in Monterey was always so picturesque and unique and different with the corkscrew. So that was really, really high on my list. But then as I started dreaming of a professional racing career, the Long Beach Grand Prix was an event that I would go to in order to get face time with everyone at Chevrolet. And so showing up there and thinking of racing and wondering if I could have a professional career can change my experience at that track. So I think those two tracks are probably the most meaningful ones for me right now as I look forward to my schedule next year.
Appreciate your time, champ. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Casey Campbell. Go ahead with your question, Casey.
Thanks, Matt. Jimmy, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask you because 2 years ago, this was the race where you announced that Ally would be a partner of yours. I want to get your thoughts on that. And, you know, over 2 years, what's the relationship been like with them? And do you expect to have a relationship with them post your NASCAR career?
I really do. We're working on what that arrangement will look like. I feel like we just have so many synergies together and share so much in common with our kind of identity or brand identity, if you will. I've become very close with the executive staff at Ally. You know, they're not only working friends, but I have friendships and relationships with them and have been integrated into their company in very unique and fun ways. So I really see the relationship continuing on longer. And I'm very, very happy for Mr. Hendrick and Hendrick Motorsports and the long relationship that they'll have with Ally. I think they're signed up through 23, if I remember right.
Yep.
Clearly makes a lot of sense from a B2B standpoint. But then again, with Ally's presence in Charlotte and their CEO living there in town, and you know, there's the relationship we've all built, and especially Rick and the Ally folks. I would anticipate Ally being around at Hendrick Motorsports for a long time and hopefully with me for many years to come as well.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.
And our final question will come from Tucker White. Go ahead with your question, Tucker.
Jimmy, we've been seeing with the choose B rule that a lot of the distribution of where the cars will line up has actually been rather even, contrary to what I thought was going to be happening going into the season. Like, why has that been the case?
I don't know. I'm running through my mind. I think you're right. You probably have stats to prove that and tell me you're right too. I don't know. I think ultimately we just wanted that opportunity to choose what happens. You know, you see some of these races play out because you had a strong car and you didn't have a chance to pick the right lane, or you didn't come off pit road in the right spot, or drivers are dragging their feet to try to be even or odd for what was needed on that particular racetrack. You know, so just to take all that out, was it seemed like a cleaner, easier way to go about it. And the conversation was bounced around for quite a few years. And in the end, once we tried it, we realized there wasn't a great effect, and it's pretty simple to manage. And everybody feels like they chose their own destiny. So it just kind of negates any reason to argue, and it's turned out really well.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for taking some time to join us today, and good luck today at the paperclip.
Cool. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, Jimmy.
See ya. Have fun.
We will have audio and video of these availabilities available shortly on NASCARmedia.com.